This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 59th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Lennertz, and I've been developing software for over 19 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CoCats for over 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about implementing and testing universal links, making rounding specific corners easier with extension, how to make custom XE test assertions show an error at the call site, lightweight dependency injection and unit testing using async functions. So let's get started. This week I will be presenting at the Dutch CocoaHeads on Wednesday, that's December 15th. If you missed the event, there's a live stream available on YouTube on the channel of CocoaHeads.nl. So register or have a look after the fact and let me know what you think of my presentation on Twoist. Also, my first content piece for my new job has been published. So it's a SwiftUI SDK announcement blog post with a tutorial attached for the new SDK for Stream. So really excited to get that out there. Don't want to go into too much detail because my podcast is my podcast and not my work. But still, it's fun to actually be able to have something out there for my new job. On another note, my son is running a bit of a fever, so while it's going to be his first week at school next week, I do hope that he gets well soon so that he doesn't have any issues getting into the schoolyard because of his illness. So fingers crossed he will recover soon and not run a fever anymore. So it's a bit of a bummer to have this situation for him right now, because on Saturday it's also his birthday, and right now his birthday is a bit up in the air whether or not we can keep all the festivities going for his birthday. Everything was already scaled down significantly due to COVID, but let's hope that he recovers soon and that he still has something that resembles a birthday party. So he's going to be turning 4 on Saturday. The recovery of my wife with her concussion is still slow going. So for the past 6 weeks, I've been doing a lot of things in and around the house. So a lot of covering and small trips and errands to make sure that the kids get to school and everything just keeps on working here. So it's been a lot of late nights and things like that to just get to the things that I want to keep on doing. And I must say that lately the podcast has been a bit taxing to keep going. Struggling through it, but just doing my best and making sure that I put some content out there. I do enjoy the interviews podcast very much, and I like doing those, and I have some of those in the back catalog, so those will continue for sure. But still, I'm always looking for new guests, so if you know somebody who would be a good guest for my podcast, let me know so that I can reach out to this person. So let's get into the news articles and finish up with Donnie's Monday morning tweet. First article I wanted to mention is by David Young, implementing and testing universal links. Universal links is a feature allowing redirection to your mobile app. Its main goal is to offer the end user the ability to display your content either on your mobile app, if it's installed, or your website. So what is universal link about? To illustrate the benefits, David describes that he wants to have a look at Google Maps. With the app installed, the first time that you try to open Google Map link, the system will prompt you to ask if you would like to open the app. By accepting, the system will save the preference and open all future and similar links with the app, offering a richer experience. So there's some caveats involved with universal links, but the meat of the article is about describing what universal links are and how you can actually configure that for your app. It's one of those things that once you've done it, you know how this works, you know where to look, you know which pieces of code you have to have in your app, but it's a good overview by David that explains a number of things and also how you can validate that you have everything configured correctly. So it's a good overview to just make sure that you don't forget anything while implementing universal links. There's also a number of links and stuff in there that you can use to debug and understand what you're doing with universal links. Philip Nemeczek has an article titled Make Rounding Specific Corners Easier with an Extension. It's an article about Philip Nemeczek being tired of spending the time to distinguish between layer min x max y corner and layer min x min y corner when trying to round only specific corners with the master corners property on CA layer. So we created a simple extension to make this much more pleasant, at least for himself. So basically it's an extension and a way that you can use an extension to make something that you have some difficulty with remembering more convenient for you to use. It's a fun little thought experiment here. It's a very short article really, because it's just a few lines. But what I find interesting on this article is this is like right at the edge of something. Should you introduce this or should you not introduce this? The pros are, of course, that you have an easier time remembering and having the effect that you're looking for. The disadvantage is that this is something that's very much specific to your code base. You create a sort of like a new dialect in your code base. And I always tend to be very careful about this. Considering the completely weird naming of the properties that you need to set when dealing with corner radiuses on CA layers, I do understand this one. And it's just one of the things I wanted to highlight this article because, yeah, just always be careful when introducing new naming in your app. Do it for a good reason and make sure that you don't get too much of a project-specific dialect going on. So just wanted to mention that. The next article is by Sarun, how to make custom XE test assertion show an error at the call site. So it's a bit of a long name, but basically if you're unit testing and you have like a more complex assertion going on, there are ways that you can get Xcode to signal the failure location of your assertion. There's some trickery involved with static strings. So that's hash file path, hash line, and hash function. And in his article, Sarun details what these things are, how you can use them, and how you can make sure that when you create a custom assertion, that the assertion is actually flagged by Xcode on the call side of this assertion. So you have a much easier time finding the correct piece of code that is having an issue in your unit testing. So it's one of those things, either you know about this or you don't. If you don't know about this, definitely read this article. If you do know about this, then this article is a very good recap on the features and maybe there's something in there that you have missed the first time that you've been dealing with this feature. The final article I wanted to highlight is by John Sundell. It's called Lightweight Dependency Injection and Unit Testing Using Async Functions. Very often making code easy to unit test tends to go hand in hand with improving that code's separation of concerns, its stage management, and its overall architecture. In general, the more well-abstracted and organized your code is, the easier it tends to be to test in an automated fashion. However, in an effort to make code more testable, we can often find ourselves introducing a ton of new protocols and other kinds of abstractions, and end up making your code significantly more complicated in the process, especially when testing asynchronous code that relies on some form of networking. John posts whether or not it really has to be this way. And the solution that he's looking for is dependency injection to use in your unit testing while using async functions. First, he goes into a lot of detail on what dependency injection is, and then he follows up by how you can use dependency injection to inject certain dependencies in asynchronous code in your unit tests. It's an interesting overview, and it's thorough as always with John Sundell. And it's a nice experiment on dependency injection so that you can use in your unit testing but also in other areas of your code base. So while it's probably no such thing as the perfect dependency injection setup, but by experimenting with different techniques you can often arrive at an architecture that strikes a neat balance between how your code base is organized, your testing needs, and the personal preferences of the developers working on it. So it's a very thorough and interesting article with an overview of dependency injection and practical applications and how you can actually implement this in your own code base. So definitely have a look at this, because it's a nice way to deal with dependencies in your unit test if you have asynchronous code. Now let's move on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. As I already mentioned earlier, I did some content releases, and I also indicated that I would be presenting at Cocoa SNL. Josh, he actually started a new job at Revenue Cat today. So congrats on that one, Josh. I hope you really enjoy your new job. And fortunately, he also indicates that he will keep on working on Fastlane tools. Stuart Lynch released something new, Xcode and Source Control, a case study. And he indicates that it's one of the most satisfying videos that he has created on his YouTube channel. John Delgado is doing a little victory dance because his team lead just told he's got a raise. And Michaela Caron is getting some work done on a freelance project and finishing up some stuff before the holidays. Philip Nemechek has started implementing support for non-App Store apps in the apps catalog. So he's updating his data model, and it's quite a painful exercise. Tokay is doing some bug fixing. Does anyone's apps icons look darker when they actually compile the app in the simulator? So he has some questions on that. And GTA Wardle is hoping that 90% of the writing of his first indie app will be done soon. So he did in-app subscriptions over the weekend, and today it's some layout code for the thank you screen. So Robin is mentioning that he's been helping someone learn late coding for interviews, and man, Swift is not great for that. He's going to be doing pairing with that person more this week. Andrew says it's his last week at his current job, and he only has 3 working days, including today, left in 2021. Roll on December 15th. I can't wait. Yeah. So by December 15th, he is winding down after an intense year. Dominic Roddle mentions that he's starting his journey to marketing for indie developers. If you know any... Darren is still learning Swift UI, and he's or she is very grateful for meeting like-minded people in iOS Dev Twitter. And he's wishing Donny all the best and make better impact on the world. And Zachary Linneman has just released an update to his app, Jellycuts app. So all in all, a lot of people pushing out content, some app updates, and yeah, just seems that people are also wrapping up the end of the year. So I wish everybody good luck with those last few days of 2021. Or was it still 2020? I forgot what date it is, because things just go into one big blur. So talk to you again next week, and let me know if you have anyone that you think I should have on my podcast, because I will definitely follow up on any good leads that you could provide me. If you want to support my podcast, please give me ratings and review. If you have any questions, let me know at AppForce1 on Twitter. And yeah, that's basically it for this week. Talk to you again next week.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.